Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, hello, my sweet lovers. Maratote, and welcome to Tasso, the African Sex Show Online. I'm Lorraine Lionheart, your host and creator of Tasso, serving it raw and keeping it real.
Keeping it real.
So how about you open your mind and expand your erotic horizons? Welcome aboard to an exhilarating ride with your number one undisputed African sex goddess. Okay, that part may be wrong, but hey, join my naughty cult
and connect with all my sexy people around the world.
This is Tasso,
rated 18 plus,
and definitely not for the faint-hearted. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
And just as you thought it was all over, we give you part two of the sex doll madness. You know, I started this podcast with such excitement, you know, thinking of all the fantastic things that I'm going to be talking about, you know. But now we're here still talking about bloody sex dolls again. I feel a little bit bewitched, if I'm honest. But there's always a silver lining in every cloud. I learned a new word this week, necrophiliac. I mean, and apparently necrophiliacs are people who are sexually attracted to dead people. You know, I wanted to learn so much, but you know, the stuff that I'm learning so far, I don't even know if I needed to learn that. But well, I cannot judge because I've always felt, you know, people look really good in coffins sometimes. Like, hey, I don't know what it is. Someone could be in so much pain and looking so ill, and the suffering can cause them to lose their beauty sometimes. But that moment that they pause, they all of a sudden look so beautiful. I think maybe it's because beauty has a lot to do with the energy that one projects. So if you're holding in so much bad energy, even if it's just unfortunately due to illness, you can look damn ugly. But the moment you find that peace and let go, then you blossom, you know. But it's a shame that some people only find that peace and let go when they die, and then they blossom very briefly. Then we have to bury you or cremate your ass, and the beauty is no good to no one, not even to you. So yeah, basically I do understand necrophiliacs. Only to a point though. I understand them only to a point. For as long as it's harmless attraction and they're not going to go out of their way to violate a dead person or an end, for as long as the attraction is towards an adult, you know, I have such an issue with people who talk about being sexually attracted to kids. I think it's one of the most vile things ever. I am all for people having the freedom and the human right to be attracted to whoever they want. But when it comes to kids, then to me, they just lose that right. And yeah, of course, I'm going to explore the subject of pedophilia pretty soon. But for now, let's wrap up this sex doll shit, honestly. So back to why and how I even learned about necrophilia. Well, it appears some people who use sex dolls have that condition, if I may call you that. But honestly, this topic has gotten creepier and creepier by the day. And for this second part, I'm not even going to indulge any further in the darkness. I am not one for dancing with the devil, so I'm just jumping straight into bringing my first guest all the way in Dublin, Ireland. Please welcome Ray to Tasso. Raymond.
Hello, Lorraine. How are you, Lorraine?
I'm very good. Welcome to Tasso.
My pleasure.
Raymond, you and I are not going to have any foreplay today, so I'm going to just directly get into it. Are you ready?
I'm ready, my baby.
I have a very important question for you. There is a certain verse in the Bible, I believe it's Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, that a lot of people have often used to justify infidelity. And this verse reads, "A man shall not live by bread alone." The reason why I'm bringing this up is because what I'm trying to find out is, could sex dolls be a very good alternative for couples, for married couples? Like, if you are married, could you not just basically agree with your wife to get a sex doll so that it just reduces that temptation to go and cheat, basically have sex with other women? And then at least you have that option. And if you cannot live on bread alone, and this meaning you cannot just have your wife's pussy and you wanted something different, then you could have a sex doll. What do you think about the issue of sex dolls from that perspective?
Since you appear to have been to theological school or biblical school, well, unfortunately for some people, whenever they quote the Bible or they interpret the Bible, mm-hmm. they will need to picky the Bible, the verse that they will, succumb to, the verse that they will support themselves with. But if you read the entire Bible from the book of Genesis, God created a woman out of Adam. He said, "I create a woman out of you. This is your woman. I give this as your woman." That was God creating a woman. He saw that man was lonely. If God wanted a toy or a sex doll, he would have done so in the beginning. But in the beginning, he created a woman out of man. He put a man into a deep sleep. So that shows us that it was not about infidelity. Infidelity came with a man out of his jealousy, out of his greed. And how do we maybe guard against such greed? By being submissive to our wives, by being submissive to anyone that we are our partners. So for us to go back and then maybe find a certain verse in the Bible that will come to our rescue and say, "Oh, God says men shall not live by bread alone," it's so cumbersome, so watery. To me, if you go and even read after Adam and Eve, after they had sinned, Adam said, "You are the one, God, who gave me this woman." Then God said that, "Be fruitful, go out and be fruitful and multiply." God then said that, "A man, you are now allowed to go out to the world, find yourself a woman." After Adam and Eve, no man has ever found a woman being posed upon him. God said the man should look for his own wife now. So he never said go out and look for his own doll. So these dolls, sex dolls, to me, they are signs of end times. Of course, maybe the interpretation of the Bible, if we are to go back into the Bible, because there is no way in the Bible it talks about sex dolls. Sex dolls can only be found in the Sodom and Gomorrah. That's where now God decided to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, because their men were sleeping with other men. There were things like this. So of course there were sex objects then, but now these are advanced because of human greed. These things, to me, they are not about men trying not to cheat their wives. These are things that try to distract a man being a man. We know we are trying to be superficial. We are trying to be more creative than God. God created a woman so that he can be with a man, so that they can be a production, so that they can be a creation of human beings. So now what we are basically saying is that, well, me and the toy, we are fine. But remember, a toy can never provide anything that a human being can provide, no matter how much it is done. Of course, what the end of it is that, just like a phone today, a technology or any other social network, today if I'm with you, I'm always peeping my phone or checking my WhatsApp, whatever, Facebook or whatever, Twitter. It shows a distraction. It breaks away that family, the bondage, because now a man will say, "Okay, if my wife doesn't come home, if she doesn't sleep with me, I'll go for the toy." And it breaks that bondage, that love that we grew up having. So to me, those things are diluting the essence of love, the essence of a relationship.
But do you really believe that God created a woman for every man? Because, you know, some men are clearly struggling to find that woman that they can settle with and, you know, have a healthy sexual relationship with.
The Bible says it does not necessarily mean that everyone has been. That is why even he says many men shall say, "God, God," but not all shall see the kingdom of heaven. It does not necessarily mean that all of us can find suitable partners or can find a woman. That is even in the Bible.
Surely, you know, we're all entitled to a good, you know, healthy sex life. So if you're unable to find a suitable partner, why would it be such an issue to at least have a healthy sex life, even if it means using an object?
Then let's go to, there was a man in the Bible called Saul. He was converted and called Paul, Saint Paul. Saint Paul never had a wife. Christ never had a wife. He lived a very good life. He didn't have someone to call a wife. So many men in the Bible live without men, without partners. So to me, having a partner is not something that you are saying it's a good life. I mean, right now, myself, I've been single for some time, but I don't think I'm living a boring life. To me, I find a normal life. It's about the mind. You see, your mind is the strongest part of a human being, how you train it. If you want it to be independent from any other factors, including partners, then it can be well trained.
But is sex not an important part of life?
Well, sex before you are married, or sex to me, is a privilege. It's a privilege such that different tastes of food, like today for us, we are from Africa, you can say, oh, I miss this type of cabbage from Africa, this type of spinach from Africa. But if it is not here, you are adjusted to what is here. It's something that you can live without. Nothing will, you know, you don't want to lose anything. Of course, scientifically, they will tell you that people who have sex maybe twice or thrice a week, they are healthier, you know, it relieves stress. Of course, scientifically, it has the benefits of having sex. Scientifically, of course, they are. But to me, there are many other ways of, you know, attaining such, you know, through exercising, through, you know, the mind is a stupid thing that you can control.
Right. So does this actually mean that you would not advise somebody to masturbate if they're single?
Well, to me, I don't do that. And to me, I've always found it awkward. And
how so? How awkward can masturbation be? I mean,
to me it's like I'm having, I'm being intimate with my own self. To me, it's like
that's so important. I think that intimacy.
To me, it's like when you are doing that, there are thoughts coming to your mind. It's someone that you can't see. It's basically yourself, and then there is that thing on your mind. You see that?
See, I see that quite differently. I think that reflection is very important. I think being able to see yourself is very important. I think that being able to be intimate within yourself is very important before actually giving intimacy or expecting intimacy from other person. It's just like what people say about self-love, right? You got to love yourself before you expect love from somebody else. So you got to be intimate with yourself before expecting intimacy from somebody else. So when you're being intimate with yourself, you're not hurting nobody. In fact, you're just loving yourself and giving to yourself. So how can then masturbation be a bad idea?
Intimacy is not about hating oneself. Like you are saying, or hating
someone.
No,
it's about loving yourself.
No. Being intimate, it means mate. That is why intimate. Mate, it means two. Mate. It means between two opposing sexual forces. It does not mean within.
Does it have to be opposing sexual forces?
In the modernized world, even if there are similar forces, yeah, we condone, because people have the right to do whatever they want to do. We cannot dictate what they can do. And we so support, or we so reserve our opinions when it goes to their matters, because, as you know, intimate matters. In Africa, where we come from, these are matters which are bedroom matters. These are matters, even when in the bedroom, they are not discussed in a general or public fora. That's why now when it goes to such issues, sometimes many of us Africans, we tend to have such opinion, mediocre opinion. We tend to, you know, even though we try to use the Bible, sometimes a lack of knowledge also plays a vital role. And also the fear of exposure, because technology has brought so many effects, both negative and positive. We can argue throughout the night and then say, okay, fine, this thing will try to, you know, there's level of immorality out there. People are cheating their partners. So having this toy will reduce such. But then the big question becomes, as myself, as a man who was once in a relationship, I think three times I was in a relationship with different women, who some of them, they were using those, you know, sex toys. And one thing that I had noticed about them, every time, whenever I was tired, or even when I'm not tired, when I thought I had done my level best, they will even say, you know what, I want to use my toy again. I said, this thing now, because with the toy, you can, you know, it stretches you beyond what a human being can provide. It's a machine. It is trained to work more faster than a human being. So it means that you are now used to...
Which means it's efficient, right?
It might be efficient, but it is so addictive, like cigarettes, like caffeine, like whatever that you may think, like cocaine. So you are used to certain taste that a human being cannot provide, or even if a human being provide, you expect it to be so finer. A human being has a weakness. You age, you know, it's not like our libido will always be the same. You know, you that reduces with time, reduces with stress. Sex is all about the mind. The mind, when it goes stressed, you don't deliver well in the bedroom. You know, you start thinking about your debts and all.
But isn't that a positive, though? Isn't that a positive that now we have technologies that are able to ensure that we still can have satisfaction, whether or not our bodies are changing, or we're aging, or our libido changes? You know, we can still acquire that sexual satisfaction from the technologies that we now have.
Well, maybe from where you stand, you might argue that, well, these are things that will replace mankind. But are we seeking to replace mankind?
No, it's not about replacing.
You know why the creation, this is called the ecosystem balance. We need to be stressed sometimes. We need everything has its own season. We need to be happy. We need to laugh. We need to cry at a certain point in life. We can never always be happy. Otherwise, we go crazy. There are moments whereby we need to adjust as human beings, normal human beings. So if we are to tell ourselves that, okay, in that sense of a human being, this is how far we can go. It's more like you say, okay, fine, in that sense of this, now we take a human being to another level. It's more like we are trying to create hybrid out of human beings. You see, whereby you think, okay, a human being cannot do this, so we are creating a hybrid. That's, to me, we are simply telling the generation that is to come, what are we saying to them? Are we saying to them that, well, we want to ensure that we eliminate you, or we focus on this? What are we trying? What is the, how will the world be in the next 30 years out of those toys? What are we planning to achieve out of these toys? I mean, it's
but I don't know. For me, I honestly believe that no matter what they do, no matter how much science and technology they use, they will never create an actual human being. I don't believe that. But I just think that as women, human beings, we are so advanced and we have the intelligence to create a certain products that can fulfill our needs, and sexual needs being one of them.
But I believe with time, that is why we have things like cloning, you know, whereby we can create another lion heart out of you, out of your body.
That's not possible.
So it's very possible. Actually, the first cloning that became possible was through a ship. It was called Dolly. I think it was in 1800 years ago. So
now they still haven't actually done an actual human being, so
it is possible.
I think with the issue of sex dolls, for me, from my perspective, I just literally see them as a sex toy. So it's a case of whether you see like sex toys in general as immoral, or if you feel that sex toys are just objects that are used for sexual pleasure.
Okay, fine. Let me ask you something. Here we are talking about issues of infidelity. We are talking about dolls. A doll is more like my laptop, my computer.
mm-hmm. responds, it has been programmed to act a certain way. You know, my phone, when the temperature reaches 30, or it will tell me that it needs to cool down, everything, it responds, you know, it has stimuli, you know. But now I'm asking myself, are we going to see human beings walking to the mortuaries and then sleeping with cops because a cop can't respond? Are we going to see that level? Are we going to see a situation where people...
But a cop, like, that's a dead body. That's an actual human being that just passed away. But the doll is a man-made thing. You're talking about a human being that's not man-made. So it's a totally different thing altogether.
A human being, we might say, arguably, it is created by a man. You and I sleep, and then a human being is born. You and I sleep, and a human being is born out of you and I.
It's not an artificial thing.
A human being does not fall from the sky.
But it's not an artificial thing that you make with silicon and whatever else they use.
So you have no regard of how its emotion. Of course, we may, you know, a human being when he's dead, there is no emotions. What is the difference between a corpse, and a toy?
Because even a past human being is still a human being. It's still not man-made.
No. It's not a human
being. It's still not an object that you just purchase from a shop.
So to you, you are saying that in respect of people who have passed away, we need now to use toys, or in respect of failure for men to guard against his lust and his infidelity, then we should resort to sex dolls.
No, I think that if a couple, you know, they're two consenting adults, if they agree that they wanted to have a sex toy, that kind of sex toy in their lives, I just think there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Okay, fine. Let me ask this as a personal question, maybe. Mm-hmm. If you and I were to be married, or whosoever the man that you love was to marry you, and then mm-hmm. along the way, the man says, I love this sex doll. These days I'm told there are females and there are males ones. So will you agree to have two of them in your house?
If we have an understanding, and if I wanted one, yes. Or if I was happy with him having one, yes. But at the same time, I also feel that even if you're married to somebody, just being married to somebody does not actually give you ownership over their sexuality. I feel that if I'm married to someone...
The issue of absolute sexuality, it has been debated across all legal jurisdictions, Europe, Africa, in some countries or in Africa. We still don't have a law which says so and so has raped his wife. No. In Europe, some parts of Europe, you can sue that, oh, the husband raped the wife. In Africa, we don't have such laws which says in a marriage, there is a consent. The moment you say, I do, those vows, they include the sex. That is why.
Well, I think you and I, you know, in all honesty, I think you and I can just agree that that is actually wrong. That is just a wrong that needs to be corrected, because a wife can be raped by her husband. It's a fact. So we can't even get into that area.
Rape has so many definitions to so many people. And to me, I still don't believe that someone who said I do can consequently rape. Maybe they
of course,
are
like if you go, if you have sex with somebody who is unwilling to have sex with you, that is rape, whether or not you're married to that person. You don't own a human being just because you're married to them.
That's the truth. But issues of sex, the moment, that is why now we call it conjugal right. It means the other party is entitled to such. But in entitlement, that is why we have freedom of speech, freedom of this and that. It does not mean you should, where my rights ends or your starts. It does not mean that every night I'll say, oh, I want to bang, bang, bang you. No, it means that our rights, we meet each other 50-50. It means that, you know, it has to be something that it's comprehensible. That is why if you deny your partner, he can even go to court and then say, I'm seeking divorce because this woman is not meeting my rights, or she's denying or violating violating my conjugal rights. That is why now I want a divorce. Of course, in a marriage does not mean you are now a property of so and so, like it used to be in the slavery times. But it gives you access, more access rights than I who is not married. And therefore, we can never say, in that absence whereby a man does not have absolute right over a woman's sexuality, or a woman does not have a man's absolute right over a man's sexuality, then we create toys so that they can have something they have absolute ownership of. No.
Well,
I'm gonna
try and get away from the subject of rape, because I have a lot of other episodes that will explore that in detail. But for me personally, I just don't think that sex can be like a right. You don't have a right to have sexual intercourse with anybody unless they say yes, regardless of whatever contract, marriage contract or whatever contract you have, that person still has the right to say no. So I just don't think anybody has signs a marriage contract and then that actually entitles them to sex. No, I do not agree with that at all. However, going back to the issue of today's episode, which is sex dolls, I just, like I said to you, I see sex dolls as just objects, just sex toys. And in many marriages, many relationships, people actually have sex toys. That is just the only difference is that those sex toys do not look human. So this is why I think people are freaking out about their sex dolls, because they look like them.
Let me maybe the noise that we see is from people who are like you and I, persons of no color, black people. Maybe to them, they're afraid because we are so conservative in nature, even those sex toys. We still, there were few people who maybe have a little taste of Western lifestyle. People have been exposed to a lot of things, but ordinary women don't use them, and that is why in Africa there is too much issues of infidelity. There's too much issues of sexual diseases, because they would rather cheat you with a person than to utilize those. Of course, when now you say it may be is something that we can say, okay, fine, we can use it to prevent such spread of diseases and infidelity, maybe.
Or maybe even as a contraception, as like another form of family planning.
Yeah, but you and I should agree that most people who cheat, or most people who suffer from issues of infidelity, is not always about saying, I want to sleep with this woman particularly. Sometimes there's something that attracts you to that woman. I noticed that doll has boobs, because most men, we are attracted to boobs, cleavage, the behind, the rear view. And
yeah, but this is the
thing.
Some people, there are quite a lot of people out there who cheat just purely based on the physical side of relationship, not because they love the other person, but just because, especially in marriages, you know, some marriages can have so much pressure and very little sex. So, you know, for sexual satisfaction, other people end up cheating. And sometimes it's just mere temptation, because you just saw this woman just looked so good, you could not resist her. You were so sexually attracted to her. But if you had that, you know, that woman in another form in your house, in a form of a sex doll. And, you know, sex dolls, agree, yeah, some of them are really sexy.
But to me, you know, we live in a world whereby there are fewer men than women. Wherever we go, most men are in prison than women. Most men die every day. Some of them, they are people living with mental disorders, some of them that are in hospitals, suffering from different afflictions, some of them that are pastors or popes, and there are fewer men, even those who are married. And then there are a lot of plenty women. You see, whereby you put, even if you were to close a male and 10 female in one big house for 10 years, chances are that you may find them sleeping with that male. That is why, even when now, because when we started took me through the Bible, through the book of Matthew. If you read through the book of Genesis, you realize that Abraham slept with the daughter, so that two of his daughters, so that they can, because there were no men who could produce them. They said, let's preserve our lineage. Let's have sex with our father. They made him drunk, and then they, you know, they had that with him. So basically what we are trying to say is that
sexual perversion goes way back. You know, if you're talking about incest in the Bible, so it just means that really we are not actually coming up with anything new. So it's just an evolution of sexual perversion.
It definitely is an evolution, and a human being was not prepared, or at this point in our life, we are not prepared to have such people who will take it to the far extreme end, whereby we'll see the boobs, whereby we'll see, oh, this thing, it has the ability even to produce orgasms and everything. We're like, oh my God, you know, it's not going to replace us. I mean, like myself, I'm afraid, I'm single. If I'm to buy that doll, chances are that I may not even be willing to find a girlfriend even in the near future, because I'll have something, I'll be like...
No, but it all depends on what you actually get it for. If it's just for mere sexual pleasure, if it's like a masturbation object, then it's not a big deal. But you cannot connect with a doll emotionally, surely.
Sometimes, let me tell you one thing. You are saying emotionally, that thing, it has been programmed such that it will tell you even how, you know, you can have a conversation with it, talk to, you know, it has been programmed such that it even reads your emotions, it even, you know, sense, it studies
your
mind.
Surely, you have got to be a disturbed person to start with. If a doll is going to say, hey, I love you, you know, like a GPS, and then you're going to fall for that.
No, listen. Today, I mean, I was in a relationship of whereby I could tell a person that I love you. Then the person said, I hear you. I'll tell you at my time, because you told me at my time. I mean, even the word I love you, it took, you know, months for me to hear that word. You know, someone will struggle to tell you that I love you. So if a doll can tell me I love you,
you fall in love with the doll, then.
You may end up, you know, saying, okay, fine. You know, that is why today a lot of single women, most of them, if you realize, they own puppies, they own pets, different pets. You know, they have something that they keep themselves busy with. So with me, because there'll be some, I could say, a void in my life, that doll may be a replacement of that void, or a replacement of that which I lack. That is why today we may say people, young men who are in love with older women, most of them, they had motherly issues or fatherly issues if she's a woman. It depends on your argument.
So basically you're saying the dolls are a lot more than just sex objects. They're also companions.
The way they have been programmed, now it's more like a company. And it's more like a company that even studies your words, what you said. You can even tell, oh, tomorrow I'm having a meeting, blah, blah. And then it will remind you, your wife, if today I'm telling you that tomorrow I have an appointment, as I have now at 9 a.m., chances are that you will even forget at 9 a.m. to tell me, oh, you have an appointment at this hour. But that will be a doll. It will tell me that you have an appointment, honey, at 9. You're supposed to meet so and so. And the wife can't memorize those things. We are human beings. And then now I think, oh, my doll is so... I will have to compare you with my doll, because my doll reminded me I had a meeting at this particular hour, and I should go, and I haven't eaten this. How much, you know, I've lost the weight. It will even tell that I've lost weight, because there will be a machine attached to that. Oh, you have lost weight, or you are stressed, you know, blood, this and that. That which a human being cannot do.
Raymond, it's been fantastic talking to you. You're amazing, and you know, I got nothing but love for you. And thank you so much for being on Tasso. I now know, because of you, I now know that sex dolls may be an alternative to my dodgy phone alarm that sometimes doesn't go off and gets me late to appointments. So I'm going to get myself a sex doll that at least can tell me, you know, I've got appointments. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Ray in Dublin, Ireland. My next guest joins us all the way from the United States. So without wasting any time, please help me welcome Adnan total soul.
Welcome to my kingdom. I'll make you a smoothie. Smooth around the gate.
He is in the United States. He is from Sudan and Ghana, I believe. And he's a very interesting gentleman because he's a polygamist. I am so excited to have him on my show. Adnan, welcome to the show. Welcome to Tasso.
Thank you for having me.
It's great. It's an honor to have you on the show. And I just want to quickly say that I really love your work, and that's why I stalk you on social media. I think you're a very talented artist, and, you know, keep doing what you do. And yeah, it is great to have you on the show.
I appreciate that.
Now, one of the reasons why I'm actually very keen to talk to you about the whole sex doll phenomenon is because obviously a lot of people see the whole idea of having a sex doll as cheating on your partner, which is crazy because I personally just see it as another toy. It just happens to have
obviously.
Legs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it has legs and arms that are not quite real, but it's just another toy.
Right, it's definitely a toy.
Yeah, so from your perspective, obviously, as a polygamist, what would you say to people like that who think that, you know, having for a man to have a sex doll is like cheating on their partner?
Well, all right, so, well, from the practical standpoint, as a polygamist, obviously, I clearly don't need a sex doll, but... <Okay. laughs> Like, that's just being basic, you know. Just, obviously, I don't need a sex doll because I got enough women in my life, I guess. But, like, as a like from just, like, you know, looking at it from the standpoint of a person sexually who just, like, who's for the fetish point, because it's a fetish in itself.
Mm-hmm.
A sex doll is just, it's literally, and I'm trying to be literal using the definition, it's literally just the evolution of sex toys. So... It's like you go from dildos to pocket pussies to sex dolls. Like it's been happening. People just making a big deal about it because it's getting closer and closer to robots for lack of better words. It's just like at this point, eventually they're probably going to build a sex doll that interacts with you. You know what I mean?
I see.
They had all this stuff already. You know what I'm saying? They've been doing this since what, 2001? I think it was. I was talking to you before. I was like, they used to have a TV show on. I want to say HBO.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's HBO. On HBO, they used to be a TV show called...
You said this was like 15 years ago.
Yeah. Well, what am I? I'm 29. So I was about 13, 14. It was about, almost 15 years ago.
You knew about sex dolls at 30. Now that's what's up.
That's when they were talking about it. I was, you know what I'm saying? I our tribe is pretty sexually open. We're not sheltered from anything. So
okay.
Our tribe, my culture is very open about everything because we kind of, for lack of better words, I'm going to say we worship nature. So everything natural is pretty much embraced in our culture. So it's nothing kept away from me. But we looked at that stuff. I've seen all that stuff before. But I remember when they first started it, like everybody's making it crazy about it now because it's realistic now. But back in the day, they were talking about it. Like if I find, one day I'll send it to you. I'll find a clip for you and I'll send it to you from the show. I can speak for America. I've been a couple places in the world, but I can speak for America. In my experience in America, a sex doll wasn't, it was taboo.
Mm-hmm.
So like people do toys. We do strap-ons, we do vibrators, we do plugs, we do beads, we do all that. You know, we do what people consider mainstream sex toys. And then you have mm-hmm. fetish-based toys. You know, you got whips and chains and SM, and all that stuff. People do that regular stuff that they think is taboo but normal. So it's kind of like in its own spectrum. And then you got sex dolls. Sex dolls, the full-body sex doll, that was
But do you think... Do you think maybe perhaps it's us, like people of color, who are making much of a fuss about this than like the Caucasians and other races? Do you think it's us that are just making a big deal out of this whole sex doll thing?
I think black people have a problem because we're very, very proud of our sexualities. And, you know, we come from cultures, especially us Africans, we mm-hmm. come from cultures where we're very, very proud about our sexuality because the world promotes us, because we are apparently the best at sex.
So, oh, okay. I'll get to that on another episode.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's coming out.
We come from that kind of culture. So our culture is promoted as a sexual pinnacle. So they're creating sex dolls that, even if you look like, I don't really care. You can put it in this spectrum. When you look at sex dolls and you look at anything, not even just sex dolls, look at porn, you look at women and strip clubs and anything that promotes sexuality, everything's overly enhanced, right? Mm-hmm. Like, women want big breasts, women want big butts and all that, and big lips and everything. And all they're doing is promoting our natural look. This is what we look like. You know, they want their men with big dicks and stuff like that because that's what we have. We have big dicks. We have big butts. We have big titties. We have big everything. We're just big. You know, we're very, very exaggerated people. And
you know, I was saying earlier on the show that, like, I've always known about sex dolls, that, you know, they exist and people have sex dolls. But it's only recently that I actually got interested in them, because now I've seen sex dolls that actually look like us.
Like exactly.
With big butts and everything. I'm like, damn.
This is exactly what they want. And the ones who don't have it, they pay for it. No, I think it's an evolution of sex toys. But I also think that people are gonna, you know, you see how people are looking at it today, because they're going, you know, it's a taboo. So people are looking at people who want to deal with them like they're weird, and it's like, okay, but what's the difference between you having a sex doll, or like, for instance, men, specifically saying men, because obviously men are gonna be more attracted to it than women, because they're making more female sex dolls than they are males, obviously. So what's the difference between a man wanting a sex doll and a woman wanting a dildo?
It's just a toy.
It's a toy.
Yeah.
It's an awkward toy because of how humanistic it is, but it is indeed a toy. So,
I think also for me, from my point of view, one of the reasons why I feel that we should kind of just take it for what it is and embrace it is because I think that it can also be very helpful to, because we have to accept that there are people out there who just ordinarily wouldn't find it difficult to get a woman.
Right.
It could be maybe because of a severe disability or anything like that. And they may not be able to afford, you know, sex workers all the time.
Right.
So a sex doll may be like a cheaper option. But at least you're looking at it like a
form of rehabilitation.
Yes, at least they have some form of sexual pleasure, you know.
I could see that.
I don't know.
I could see it that way. I could definitely see it that way. It's definitely it's an item. You know what I'm saying? It's a rehabilitative item. I get it. And everybody needs sex.
Exactly. But everybody needs sex. So do you think, for us, the people of color, do you think this is just a passing trend that people are just going to talk about it and totally forget and just move on with life as it was? Or do you think actually we are going to get into the whole sex doll thing?
There are black people that are going to be into it. I've seen it. So I know that black people, I don't think it's going to become a black thing though.
Okay.
I'm almost positive it's not going to become a black thing.
But do you think it's likely to get to a point where we actually just accept it, and like, if you know your brother or your mate has a sex doll, it's not a big deal? That kind of thing. Is it going to be accepted?
No, because we naturally have fun with fucking, you know, we love making fun of each other. So it's always going to be, that's always going to be a thing to fuck with somebody about. You know what I mean? Like, even today, like, women have been using dildos all their life. But you see, if you walk in the house and see a girl's dildo, you'd be like, damn, girl. Like, you really got that dildo just in here? Get your life together. It's fun to, now it's going to get to a point where it's not going to be slanderous.
It's just going to be funny. And
it's just going to be a way to joke. It's a joke now. Like, we make jokes out of everything. It's 2018. Everything is fucking funny now.
But so, you know, even the people, fact that people take things to like certain levels. Do you think there'll come a time where marrying one is going to be illegal? Do you think?
Dealing with white people? Yeah, probably. that's the type of shit white people do.
What about us?
Africans, no.
You don't think so?
No, Africans don't. We don't marry dolls.
There's so many
sexual
behaviors.
Yeah,
and beliefs
Africans,
that
Africans are,
used to
are
be
so anti-taboo. No,
you
Africans
think so?
Are so anti. I know they are. Africans are so anti-taboo. They because Africans like to lie about their own things. Like Africans act like they don't do any. Like you see, Africans still kill gay people, and they act like there's no gay people in Africa. There's gay people in Africa, but they don't want to talk about it because Africans are so anti-taboo that they just swear. They swear down that they can't, they don't do anything. You know what I'm saying? They swear down that they don't do anything. And then little shit pop up and all of a sudden you're like, what? That happened in Ghana? What? That happened in Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire? There's just the people in Cote d'Ivoire doing this thing. And then the next thing you know, boom, it's on the news and then somebody gets killed. And you're like, damn, man, they killed him. Yeah, they don't do that, man. Africans are too, because Africans are very, you know, egotistical. We got our culture, and our culture is very, very anti-taboo. Even though we do things that the rest of the world look at us like we're crazy, so the things we do, everybody looks at, the whole world thinks we're crazy, but we looking at them like, what? You're crazy because you don't do it. And the next thing you know, they start doing this type of stuff, especially when it comes to sex. Especially when it comes to sex, Africans think they're the most conservative people in the world, and we got the boy. If we you don't want to talk about it. Look.
So let's say this. Let's imagine you were single and you were not a polygamist and, you know, you wanted a sex doll. What would you order?
If I wanted a sex doll?
Yeah, if you wanted a sex doll, what would you go for?
Like, what, like the type of sex doll it is?
Yeah, the type of sex doll.
It would be black, obviously.
Okay, all right.
Big bum, big boobs, big everything will be African woman.
Oh, African
woman. I want an afro. I want like nappy hair or something. I want braids. I want braids, afro, locks, anything of that nature. I need nappy hair.
I see. Wow.
I like
so
nappy hair.
Yeah, now you're so right, you know, about this just being a toy, you know, something that people like, right?
Yeah.
To play with, right?
Mm-hmm.
You like to play with nappy hair, so if the doll has nappy hair, you know, it may work.
Yeah, because you don't want to worry about pulling tracks out or anything of that nature.
One last question I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's it going to take for me to be the fourth wife then?
You got to ask my wives. Nah, it's a thing. It's a conversation that you have to have with them because for the respect of the women in your life, and
mm-hmm.
I don't lie to women in my life because I've learned over experience and years and stuff like that of dealing with women that it doesn't pay off to lie to women because women always find out anyway. So learning not to lie to them makes it easier to deal with them because women that's what they do. Women just they study you as a man. So me trying to lie to a woman about another woman would just be stupid because the women end up meeting. It's retarded to lie to a woman. So I don't lie to the women in my life. I tell them everything. And if I, especially if I find interest in another woman, the first thing I do is tell my women. And then they go, well, show us who. And then they look
and
at them.
And then they decide.
And then, yeah, and they're like, well, she's pretty or she seems like she's interesting. Let's get to know. And well, usually they let me get to know the woman. And then if I see, because they know how I am. If I get to know you, and you seem worth the while, then
mm-hmm.
obviously I'm going to say something to them. And I'm like, okay, so she seems dope, you know? She seems like a she seems like a dope woman. She seems like she has her head on her shoulders. She has ambition. She's working towards something. She's worth putting money toward, like, everything, because that's what we do as a family. I work hard. I'm personally as a very simple man, but I come from a very elaborate background. But I'm a very simple man, so I don't need anything. So when I work, all my money goes towards the women in my life because I don't need anything other than my home and rum because I don't care about nothing. But they do. They need everything because they're women. Because women, you know, women deserve to be showered and they're God. In my life, in my world, in my culture, women are like the pinnacle of life. So we give everything to our women. So when I work, I give everything to them. So I work and they work and we work and we make sure everybody's okay everywhere. And then they're all spread out. Yeah, everything builds towards each other. But I'm like a servant, but not. I don't want to say it that way, you know, to make people think I'm some type of slave to our women. But
I
serve my women.
I
love the women in my life. I serve my women because they deserve everything. They create life. They nurture. They are Like, I won't allow anybody to take him to, like, that's what black African women deserve everything because they created everything as far as my culture is concerned. So that's what we treat them like. So that's part of the reason I don't lie to them.
You treat them like queens.
They deserve more than that. Exactly.
There's one question though I'd like to ask you, but it may be too personal. Feel free to not answer it if you don't wish to. Right. So in a polygamist setup, do you get intimate with your women individually, or are there occasions where you can get intimate as a group?
So it
So basically what I'm asking is, do you have threesomes and stuff like that in a polygamy setup?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I understand.
Listen.
Listen, listen. I don't say any of this stuff. Relax. See, now. Listen, I have to make the disclaimer for the respect of women.
Okay.
Because there are women in my life, I can't, and you know, this is going to be broadcasted. Because there are women in my life,
mm-hmm.
it's not my place to put their business out there. So I wouldn't say
not for you personally, but in general.
I can answer. I'm just saying it for the sake of, because I've been on interviews and stuff like that before with the same question. So I always say this for the fact. It's not my place to talk about their sexual life because it's not just mine. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't speak for them personally, but in polygamous relationships, some do and some don't. It's up to the woman.
Okay.
Obviously, a man has no problem with it. Well, some men do. I ain't gonna lie, but I don't. I personally don't have a problem with multiple partners at once. I've been threesomes, foursomes, orgies, all that good stuff. But in this current relationship, I can't speak about it because it's not my place to speak about it because it's not just my sexuality.
I totally understand.
Whatever. If they were all openly about it, then yes, I would say yes or no. But if it's their business as well, so I can't say that on air. But in polygamous relationships, it does happen, and it's obviously up to the couples themselves. But I personally, if you're asking me personally, I promote it. I have been in relationships where such things do go down, and I'm okay with it, and that's that.
Right. Well, one of the reasons why I was asking that question is because I was having a conversation with one of my contributors earlier, and we were basically talking about how, as like a couple, if you wanted to basically spice up your marriage or your partnership, whatever you got, maybe a sex doll could do if it's like agreed between two consenting adults. Like something like that. Like if you're a couple, you could bring a sex doll in as like a threesome thing, but with a sex doll.
I don't, like, from personal experience with threesomes and stuff like that, I don't imagine it would be the same. It wasn't a porn. It was more like a documentary about like a couple who bought a sex doll to have like kind of, I guess, what they considered a mock threesome. And even though the way they expressed themselves, they enjoyed it, but watching them, it seemed kind of, it wasn't as exciting as having another person because it's a doll.
But could it not be like the first step, like before moving to that big step of bringing?
Yeah, if you're one of those people
that's never
had a threesome before, mm-hmm. Or never invited a person into the relationship, then yeah, I imagine a doll is kind of like definitely a doll is a step because, you know, it's another entity in the sexual realm.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, don't get it twisted. It's the same as talking to a woman about a dildo. You know what I'm saying? She could have a dildo or a vibrator all she wants, but it's nothing like having a man embracing your body. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with a man. I could have a pocket pussy all day. I could beat my own dick if I want to, but it's nothing like having a woman or being inside of a woman. There's nothing like being inside of a woman. So it's levels to this shit. So a sex doll is just... You know, it depends on the type of person you are and what you are comfortable with or what you are willing to accept. Me personally, I like the visual. I do like the visual of it all because mm-hmm. men are visual anyway, especially sexually. We're visual. But the physical part of it, I personally don't need a sex doll. I like toys.
But sex dolls, they also are visual things, items.
That's what I said. That's why I like the visual. I see.
Okay. But
I've seen them. I like sex dolls as far as the visual is concerned because I like the fact that it's humanoid. But I don't need it. I wouldn't. I personally wouldn't buy sex. Unless one of my wives went, hey, we should get a sex doll. I'm one of those men that's like, whatever makes you happy, if it makes you come, I'll do it.
You know, I'm not entirely sure about the visual part as well, because, you know, some, like, you look at one and the body looks so fit and all that, but something about the face looks a little creepy though. Because
I said that the other day. I was going through porn and I saw a genre pop up for dolls, and I was like, oh man, it's getting serious because they made a genre for it. So I opened the genre and I've seen the different porn genres for sex dolls with people, and I clicked one and I was watching it and I was like, this is creepy. It was creepy to watch, just to watch it. That's what it was. It was creepy because it has a dead face. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. No expression.
Yeah, there's nothing tantalizing about it or anything. And I'm like, this isn't even. But I imagine, you know, it's for masturbative purposes. But that's probably the reason that when masturbation started, you know, when the masturbative toys started, they didn't make full blown dolls, because it's creepy to see something that just stares at you with dead eyes.
Well, but, I'm sure with all the upgrading that you're anticipating, I think maybe they will change something about the face and make it look a bit more lively, perhaps.
I could predict for the future that this might go bad, because they're headed. You know, white people, they like to make robot. They like to make robotic versions of everything. They're eventually going to make robotic sex. I know for. I've seen the documentaries for it. They're working on robotic sex dolls. And the robotic sex dolls are eventually going to fucking kill people or something. I don't know. You know how white people are. They're going to do something weird. And it's going to go bad. You know? So that's why, this is why black people don't do this type of stuff. They just, you know, they just get caught up in it. Because
white, they want to live.
Right. Yeah, everybody wants to experience something cool. And it's just like, all right, man, we gave it a shot. But white people fucked it up again. So can't have fun. But for so long with this type of stuff. But yeah, the sex dolls are cool. They're just not for me. I'm fine. I don't need it. I prefer women, but I like other toys. You know, there's enough toys in the world for me to play around with, especially dealing with, you know, whatever makes one. Like I said, I tell them all. I just like, whatever makes you come, is I'm down for it. If you want a sex doll, get a sex doll. We'll do it. But I personally don't need it.
I totally understand why. I tell you what, next time someone asks me, Lorraine, why are you still single? I swear I'm going to cause World War III. I don't need the pressure no more. I am clearly trying. Did you guys hear how I blatantly tried to hit on a brother just now? And even with a polygamist who is open to having more women, I can't get anywhere. So really, it's tough, man. It's tough out here. I am so screwed. And the way it's going right now, I think I'm going to be the first African woman to marry a sex doll. Because, hey, you know, opportunities are not presenting themselves. But anyway. But then again, I think there was a little hope there somewhere. Did you hear what he said? You know, if he was to have a sex doll, he would have one with dreadlocks. Did you guys hear that? Or was it just me imagining stuff? And he is fine. Oh my God, he is so fine. Lord Jesus, that beard. Anyway, it's been great hanging out with you guys. Thank you to my guest. And guys, it's been so great hanging out with you. You've been listening to Tussle, and I'm Lorraine Lenhart, your girl, your queen, your goddess. Come back again and taste my melons. Why don't you? Long time.